Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. It's always a blessing to have you on board. We look forward to having the dialogue and discussion with you on our issue each day. By the way, today's the last day for the primary election, the voting for the state of Florida. So I pray that you have either already voted or that you have it top priority immediately after this broadcast to go vote. Let me encourage you to do so. It is the heritage liberty that we have in America, and it's going to make all the difference in the world for the conservative, for the Christian, for the American patriot as to the outcome of these elections in this election cycle. I can't emphasize it too much. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number for today's broadcast is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. We're going to ask the question today, are churches essential? Are churches essential? We can put it another way. Why are churches, Christians, pastors, Christians in general, persecuted, prosecuted, demeaned, and considered second-class citizens in America today? What's the dynamic behind that? What's causing it? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond as Christians, as pastors, as churches? Recently, someone said, if your church is still closed, find one it's not. And I think that's a good recommendation. If your church is still closed, your pastor is still hiding in the closet or hiding under the bed, find a church where the gospel is being preached and it's open. Let me encourage you to do so. Normally, I don't say, you know, do church hopping. That's not the point at all. But you need to be where you can be under the word, in the word, challenged by the word, and the inspirational message going forth each and every Sunday. You can't worship. You can't meet the requirements of the biblical text and God's command for us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You can't meet that requirement online or some visual that you're watching on a screen or a handheld device. That's not worship. We're going to be talking about some of these things on the broadcast today. So let me encourage you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Pick up the phone, call your neighbor, your friend, your relative, your next-door neighbor. Let them know that the broadcast is on. Tell them how to find it. Encourage them to join in not only today, but each and every day as we face the issues. Today, we're going to be joined by a special guest, one that you've heard before, Pastor Glenn Davis from up in South Georgia, my home state, and I always look forward to the opportunity when he's with us on the set so that we can have dialogue and discussion about the issues of the day and the current issues of our society. I'm always delighted to hear the wisdom that God places in his heart and his mind as we communicate truths together and loving the Word of God together and having the opportunity to share with you. That's what we're going to do today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. Perhaps you recall, if you were in church and Sunday school and worship service as a youngster, the old song, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E.
Amen.
And so that's what we're depending on when we talk to you, when we bring up issues. And I say that every Christian ought to be willing to face the issues. I recall back in the 60s, if I can interrupt the train of thought for a moment, back in the 60s with Dr. W.A. Criswell. Dr. Criswell being interviewed on national television on one occasion. This is before he went on to be with the Lord. Never will forget, he always loved the pastel colors. He was in a baby blue suit with a pair of white patent shoes and a blue tie with his head full of snow white hair as he sat there on camera being interviewed. And he talked about the things of interest and things of his life and what he'd done. It was kind of a long interview about his life and ministry and his work for the Lord and all of the years that he had served the Lord in ministry and pastoring and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He made the statement that he made it his business to read about 12 or 15 magazines a week, to be informed about all of the political issues, all of the world issues, all of the state and global national issues. So, and his statement, so that he'd be able to communicate with anybody on any level at any time, regardless of their academics, regardless of their PhDs or otherwise, regardless of where they were in life and society, whatever strata they're on, he could communicate with them. And I believe that is vital today. I believe that's perhaps more vital today than it was in the 60s when I picked up on that, and I have attempted to do that ever since. I enjoy reading. I enjoy research. I enjoy writing and publication. I love to study the Word, love to proclaim the Word, and therefore I have a passion to talk about issues. But we always focus the issue on the fundamental foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Truth Book. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the question that begs to be asked and answered, what is truth? So Jesus answers that. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. He further elaborates on that in John 17:17, when the Lord Jesus himself says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to face truth and understand truth. I don't believe Joe Biden understands how to spell the word truth, much less speak the truth. 52 years or approximate to that, he's been in the Senate and the House and vice president. And everything that he has done and put in practice in all of those years, he's now saying that he's going to do things different. So can you depend on him? Does he know how to spell truth? Does he know what truth means? And when it comes to his running mate, Kamala Harris, she is the one that promulgated and pushed the prosecution of some undercover video people in California that were videotaping the reality of the home that Planned Parenthood were selling baby parts, body parts, and killing the child and selling the body parts. And so it was Kamala Harris that started the prosecution of those, quote, Christian undercover videographers that were making that known around the world. And I could go into great detail, but that's not the purpose of today's issue of the broadcast. Simply digressing to point out truth. We need to stand for truth. It was George Orwell many years ago who said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, I adhere to the philosophy by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that made this statement. It is a wonderful statement. I have used it each and every day on this broadcast for quite some time. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just do a little parenthetical footnote on that statement, I believe as Christians we will see the day, that is before the rapture of the church, in the era in which we're living and the rapid pace of the deterioration and the destruction of God's church and of the religious liberties that we have, I believe we will see the day in my lifetime before the rapture of the church takes place that Christians will have to stand for truth even to death. I believe we're headed rapidly. It's like being on a jumbo 777 full steam ahead. We're headed for that day when we will see the truth of biblical reality and Christianity being challenged to the point that the real Christian will have to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen in relationship to our stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment, about hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of Old Glory Flying. 165-foot flagpole with the American flag flying 24/7. you find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers, led by, now you can disagree if you want to, tell God, don't tell me. I'm not interested in diatribe about our founding fathers, whether or not they were God-fearers or whether they loved Jesus or whether they were Christians or not. I believe they were all either saved or they had a recognition of God and His sovereignty. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Himself gave us America, led by the Lord, through the hearts and the lives of our founding fathers. We have religious liberties and the freedom of religion today and Christian principles that we've enjoyed for some 244 years in America. Americans have been able to reap the God-given blessings and benefits and rewards of freedom and liberty of living in a free nation. I don't know of any other nation that I'd rather live in than America. Now, you can hear some of these warmongers, and you can hear some of these Antifa and the Black Lives Matter Marxist communists. You can hear them in their hate rhetoric about America and how we need to overthrow America and destroy America. Ladies and gentlemen, if America is destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 11:3 tells us. May I remind us, if we destroy America, we will, by one fell swoop, destroy the liberties and the freedoms that we've enjoyed for 244 years, primarily being found in our Constitution with our Bill of Rights, the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms being the first two in particular, that we need to recognize that if those two are eviscerated, if those two rights are taken away from us, if they're foreclosed upon in any fashion, we will lose America as a nation that's been blessed of God for all of these years. All now we see and hear is somehow, some way, that the church is not essential. We've seen that since COVID-19, the Wuhan China virus. Wuhan China virus that's come upon us that has been a blight against everything America has been and we've attempted to do. Contrarywise, President Trump has tried to do all that he could from the very inception of this wicked virus. He's done everything under his power and authority and control as president to help protect us in America. And yet, in watching some of the comedy show last night called the DNC Convention, it's a comedy, and in the comedy show last evening, some of that I watched and some I couldn't tolerate, watched some of the replay this morning, even on Fox News, they were showing some of the blurbs from Michelle Obama and others, and all they could do was bash Trump, and their major bashing seems to be that he didn't protect us from the Wuhan China virus. Of course, they did not refer to it as that other than COVID-19 or the coronavirus. But ladies and gentlemen, at the time he was trying to do at early stages, he was accused of being against Asia and against Asian people and some Asian phobia in some fashion. Even Joe Biden himself said that President Trump was wrong in what he had done to try to intercept and stop the flights from China and for that part of the world. But simply put, ladies and gentlemen, I want to digress for a moment to point out to you that in our nation, we have liberties and freedoms that no other nation has. In fact, a good illustration of that, Brother Davis, is the fact that in China today, let me just go down a list that I have formed for myself here so that our listeners would understand, Pastor, where China is today, and we need to recognize where China is and mirror that as to where we're going based on what the socialist Marxist Democrats are doing and their governors and mayors in the cities and the states across America that's allowing the ravaging in the street, that's allowing the murder by way of the thugs in the street, that's allowing the rioting and the pillaging and the burning and the murders and all that is taking place in our streets today in the cities that's controlled by the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats, and they have been in control. Chicago been in control with the Democrats for some, 65 years, 75 years? Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon. I could go across the nation. New York. All of these have been in control of the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats, and now they're accusing, Pastor, they're accusing the president, our president, Donald J. Trump, of not handling these things appropriately, and they've been in charge of them for half a century or better. So I find it antithetical to anything that's called truth that we're being told today. Amen. But in China, churches are being bulldozed and burned. In China today, ladies and gentlemen, Bibles are confiscated and burned. In China today, Christian songbooks are forbidden. Those that are confiscated are being burned by the POW. Home churches and Bible studies in China are illegal. Christians must worship in seclusion or be imprisoned or put to death or just made to disappear, as they call it in China. Crosses in China are illegal. If a building has a cross on it, 2 years ago they started demolishing the crosses. 2 years ago they started outlawing crosses. 2 years ago they started clamping down on Christianity. They've been doing that for years and years and years, but openly, overtly, 2 years ago, they started the strong arm of doing so. Now they're literally burning churches, bulldozing churches, et cetera, et cetera. And when I say bulldozing churches, Pastor Davis, comes to mind the sodomite mayor in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot has threatened to bulldoze churches if they continue to open for services.
My.
Now, what should we do? How should we respond, Pastor, to these things that we see taking place? When we see what's happening in China, and I could go, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I could go to my archives of documents and evidence that I have discovered that will validate that everything right down the list that I've just given you of what's happening in China is in the shadows of taking place today in the United States of America.
Amen.
Where we're trying to shut down the church. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not know this, but there are literally thousands upon thousands of churches that are closed in America as I speak. And they're closed because of the pastors hiding under the bed or in the closet, refusing to come out because the mayor or the governor says, you can't have church. Now, Brother Davis, should we do that? Should as Christians, should we simply passively obey those commands and demands, or should we have church? Give our listeners your thoughts and your philosophies, your feelings on what is done. How should our churches respond? Are churches essential is the key question.
Amen. Well, first I want to say good morning to everyone. A special friend I just met a few days ago, Brother Danny, over in Callahan, Florida. I want to say good morning to my family and friends and everyone that's listening today. But Dr. Youngblood, those are very critical areas that you just hit upon a while ago. The number one thing I think Christians should first learn to do is stand together.
Yes.
You know, I see so much division. I mean, some are divided as far as, you know, their thought pattern. What's their true outlook? How do they stand, you know, on the certain things that are happening right before our faces? We're not living in a dream world.
That's right.
We're living in reality. This is reality.
Right.
And people need to come to grips with what is really happening all around them, mm-hmm. and learn to know and understand that there are some very serious issues at hand. There are some things, Dr. Youngblood, like we said a few months back, that are going on that are totally out of the ordinary.
Yes.
Things that we never seen happen before in life. A good friend and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about some of these same things that we're talking about right now. And we said to each other that we never thought that we would ever see these kind of things happening in life that we are seeing right now.
That's right.
So the number one thing I think Christians should learn how to do is first stand together united under God and under His Word.
Let me just touch on that, Pastor, and I'm thankful that you brought that out. You can watch the Antifa thugs and the riots as you see them on television. You can watch the Black Lives Matter Marxist in the street. And where one will jump into the fray, all of them will join together.
Amen.
Join together in that battle. Now, their battle is wrong. Their modus operandi is wrong. Their ideological bent is wrong. Their socialist, Marxist, communist want to destroy America. But they stand together. Now, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting to say. For example, and we'll talk about it further in this broadcast, Dr. John MacArthur at Grace Community Church in California kept his church closed for about 8 weeks and decided we're not going to obey Caesar anymore. We're going to obey Christ. We're going to open our church. Now, he and I have some serious theological doctrinal differences, primarily being I am not a Calvinist. I believe that we have the freedom of choice. We have the right to say, the liberty to say yes or no to Jesus Christ, that we can be blood-bought, Bible say, born again, based on volitional decision to invite Christ into our hearts. Now, he doesn't believe that. He takes the stand that God, before the foundation of the world, decided who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, and you can do nothing about it. Now, he's a good man, but I'm simply pointing out our theological differences. But I will stand with him on his stand against Governor Gavin Uzziah Newsom in California. I will stand with him in his right to obey Christ and not obey Caesar.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Called Christian civil disobedience. I will stand with him for that right to my dying breath, because we may not agree theologically, doctrinally, but we do agree that that's the right thing for Christians to do.
Amen.
And so, Brother
Amen.
Davis, what you're saying is we need to stand together.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about now denominational distinctives. I'm not talking about some of the things that we differ in doctrinally and theologically. I'm talking about if we're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, we're called Christians, we're
Amen.
Part of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ must learn how to stand together.
Amen. That is the number one thing. I always
yes.
say it, Dr. Youngblood. We have to first understand that, listen, I know I'm a black man from the black race. You're a white
God
man.
Created to say we didn't.
But listen, first thing we need, the first priority in all of our lives, top shelf, we need to recognize, first, we are Christians.
Yes, that's first and foremost.
That makes us kin through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. This
so
one
that's
blood.
The first.
One blood.
That's right. First, foremost, and most important thing that we need to understand. We need to set aside these differences
yes.
and stop letting these isms mm-hmm. separate us, Dr.
Yes,
Youngblood.
That's right.
And when we come together, we can stand, we can show the rest of the world. See, the number one thing that Christ told us to do, if we love one another as he has loved us, and the world see that love in us, that way they can tell that we are his disciples.
Amen.
But how, Dr. Youngblood, can we ever stand if we're going to sit back and say, I believe in baptism and washing of the feet, but others might say, all I believe is just baptism. I don't believe we have to wash feet. I mean, I'm just saying that there are certain little technical things like that that stand in the way of Christians coming together and
we
agreeing.
We have the biblical
and
authority and right to
another.
Disagree on those points.
Amen.
When we get to heaven, we'll find out who's right and who's wrong.
Amen.
But we need to stand together on the philosophies and the principles and the biblical theological text in relationship to worship. So you're touching on that, Pastor Davis, and let me just interject this thought. There's some preachers out there, some denominational leaders, that if they've decided that we need to obey the government when the tyrannical tyrants, the governors and the mayors say you need to shut your church down. Now, my position historically has been, they say, okay, it's because of COVID-19. It's because of the Wuhan, China virus. My question is, what's the next crisis that they will determine then you need to shut the church down? I believe this is a dress rehearsal. I believe this is just simply a preparation for the ultimate future, hammer being dropped, as I'd call it, for the churches to be shut down.
Amen.
For us to have to go undercover, as in China, for the churches to have to meet in our homes. In fact, as I touch on that, I'm reminded that in California, Governor Gavin Uzziah Newsom, and I'm giving him as my one of my sons, Greg, named Newsom, Governor Gavin Uzziah Newsom, King Uzziah, that decided he was going to disobey God, went into the temple and offered to burn incense, and God killed him. And Governor Gavin Uzziah Newsom in California now has even outlawed by fiat order that you can't have Bible studies and worship even in the home.
Amen.
He has simply done, by executive order, what China has done to the Christians in China.
Amen.
And yet there is a mindset, Pastor Davis, with some pastors in California and others across the nation that say that we need to obey what the government says. Now, let me just put this as a little parenthetical footnote, ladies and gentlemen. A law is passed when it is debated in the city council, or in the House and the Senate, both on the state level or the national level. Once it has been voted out, then as being okay, then a governor or the president will sign it. It becomes law. As William Barr, the Department of Justice Attorney General, has said, that these are simply not laws. In fact, they're unconstitutional, unenforceable, and illegal. And yet, Pastor, we still have multitudes of churches that think that we're doing something against God and against God's word if we open our churches, or if we stand for truth, or if we stand for what Christ says we ought to do. What is your advice to pastors that may be listening today that their churches are still closed? How would you recommend that? What would you recommend they do?
Well, if anything, Dr. Youngblood, the number one thing we need to learn how to do is obey God.
Yes.
You see, God had it right from the beginning. He doesn't need anyone to tell him how to be God. He's got that down pat. He doesn't need anybody to help him with that.
That's right.
Now, after that, with that being said, all right, we are the children. We are the sheep of his pasture. So then what we should be doing, Dr. Youngblood, is obeying the word. The number one thing that we need to know and understand is that we are pilgrims and strangers passing through here.
Absolutely, brother.
Our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
But don't get me wrong. He also expects for us to obey the laws of the land.
Yes.
But we got to know and understand this. If the laws of the land run contrary to his word, then we are under no obligation to obey what the law
Absolutely.
Is telling us.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And so I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the church is essential. And it's time the church, i.e. the Christians, that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and recognize that we're not second-class citizens because we're Christians. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's being perpetrated upon us today as perhaps never before. In fact, I'm looking at an article here that says, Louisville City Council takes first step to ban praying right outside an abortion center. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Louisville, Kentucky, they made the determination, the city fathers have made the determination, that if Christians are outside their own public streets, public sidewalk, even if they're there, that now they're banning them because it took place there in Louisville, Kentucky, where Christians, Brother Davis, were on the sidewalk praying for those that were going in that they would not kill their babies. And just praying on the sidewalk now has been outlawed in Louisville, Kentucky. They have literally outlawing Christians praying on the sidewalk, contending that that is an illegal act, that you cannot do that.
My.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand, for the most part, worshiping in America today has been curtailed. Church services have been shut down. And there are a lot of folks that are saying that somehow, some way, that we can worship online. That is simply not the case at all. I'm looking at an extensive article that was prepared by Barner in the Barner Report. And it says 1 in 3 practicing Christians has stopped attending church during COVID-19. It's about a 10-page article, Brother Davis. And in the article, George Barner has validated several things. I'm just going to touch these things real quick. Then after the news break in just a moment, we'll come back and we'll dissect them and talk about it, because the church is essential and we need to understand that.
Amen.
But in the Barner Report, he validates some sad facts. Number one, 1 out of 3 practicing Christians today have stopped attending church completely.
My.
1 out of 3 that claim
that
they're
so
Christian
true.
Stopped attending. And what they have done, they've used COVID-19, i.e. the Wuhan China virus, as the rationale. I've talked with people time and time again in the past several months, and they say, well, my church is not open. The philosophy is, well, my church is not open, so I don't have to worship. I don't have to study the word. I don't have to pray. I can just sit at home and sip on some Miller Lowlife or Bud Dummer and watch the football game.
My.
I don't have to go to church anymore because the law said, the government says that church is closed, so therefore I don't have to go to church. And this is done. Now, this report was done April and May of this year. And now, since May, which is about 3 months, there's probably some changes up or down. But I'm going by the statistical data that he's gathered. Second thing is, he found 34% say that they view worship services from different vantage points as they are doing, quote, digital church hopping, that they're watching a service from this church and from this church and this church, but they're not reading their Bible according to this report. They're not giving tithes and offerings. They're not interested in going back in person. They're simply considering themselves as Christians, but not worshiping. Number three, Pastor Davis, this Barner Report says, the number of so-called practicing Christians has dropped 50% since the year 2000. That's in 20 years. The churchgoers, the practicing Christians, dropped 50%. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the top of the hour news break, 1 hour. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to continue our broadcast today. Our church is essential. So join us right after the break. Let's Face the Issues continue.
Continues. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.